Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, and my name is Heather McCray. I'm a coach healer with a master's degree in special education. I'm an ordained Madonna minister, a Kabbalist, and a certified chicken and Reiki practitioner. The name of my coaching business is Uniquely You, and my hope for this 30-minute radio program of CPR is to help you come back to life, help you come back to yourself. what I'd like to do is start by telling you my WordPress website is Heather McCray, HeatherMccrae.wordpress.com. I'm also, you can email me at Heather@processdifferently.com. I'm on Skype, I'm on Twitter. Just look for Process Differently, and that's me. I'd like to start off today by sharing a really short, quick, but good affirmation for today. Here we go. Trust the Creator's creation. You were not born broken, you were born different. There never was anything ever wrong with you. Excuse me. Everything about you that is different and uniquely you is exactly what the human world needs at this precise moment. Thank God you showed up when we did. We've been waiting for you. I'm very excited because in alignment with all of that, my guest today is author and motivational speaker Robin Marvel. Robin has written several books and does brilliant work helping people shift out of fear and into claiming their life. The name of her business, I believe, is On Purpose Living. Robin, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Robin, thanks for joining us today. I'm so glad you're here. Can you tell everybody a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Okay, I am an author, motivational speaker, as you just said. And I really work to bring people out of their living through their wounded eye, limiting themselves based on circumstances they've went through. I had a very, a very rough childhood. And then I became a teenage mother, and I went through a lot of experiences that really could have sent me into a cycle of dysfunction and just following through with what I knew. But I decided to step out of that and live a life of motivation and purpose. And so that's really what I help people to do today.
That's fantastic. I noticed, Robin, on your website, you have written books for children. Can you talk a little bit about your work with kids?
Yeah, that's what really started all of it. I have five daughters, and I homeschool them. And I was sitting here, and I was looking for a book that would focus on shifting their self-awareness and building their self-esteem and really instilling a sense of self within them. And I looked online and I looked everywhere in the bookstores and I couldn't find anything. I found a lot of stuff that told me what to do, but there was nothing that was super hands-on and really got them involved. So I said, you know what, I'm going to write it. And I said it to my girls and I started writing it and I contacted a publisher and said, this is my idea. And Awakening Consciousness, a Girl's Guide was born. And what's really been amazing is all of the kids that I've been able to work with in my workshops and through the internet and in my area where I've actually did the hands-on exercises with them and really helped them to be complete and whole and perfect just as they are and just kind of brought that to, reminded them of that. And so it's been really amazing.
That's fantastic. Robin, have you or do you ever work with kids with ADHD or autism spectrum stuff?
You know, I've done a little bit of work with ADHD kids, not anything with autism, but with the ADHD kids, the reason is because I have some in my family. So I've really did a lot of work with the Boys Guide because it's my sister's son. So, you know, I've worked with him a little bit, but I haven't really, I guess I wouldn't say I've done extensive work with it, just here and there stuff with that. And it seems helpful, you know, to really give them that confidence and give them something to focus their energy on. It's really been helpful with the Boys Guide.
Well, tell me more about the Boys Guide. How is that, other than the obvious, how is that different than the Girls Guide?
Well, you know, with the Boys Guide, I had to do my research because, like I said, I have the five girls, so I don't have any boys. So this was, you know, this was a big project for me, and I do a lot of Native American stuff in it and a lot of folklore tales. And then the hands-on exercises, although they're similar to the girls, they have the masculine feel to them. And, you know, I've noticed that boys and girls learn differently. I mean, everyone learns differently, but there's a lot of distinctive differences. And so I learned that throughout my research. So now in the Boys Guide, I touch a lot on like I said to a lot of friends, you know, with boys, well, what are the issues your sons have? What have they went through? And the same answer I kept getting was aggressiveness versus the girls, you know, the aggressiveness, which some girls are. I'm just saying for what I dealt with. Yeah, so I touch on that, and I really want to get them out into nature and learning to connect with Mother Earth, because they're taught from a young age, you know, you have to be tough, you have to be bold, you can't cry, you can't be sensitive. That's a label the boys have been given. And so I wanted to tell them it's okay. It's okay to be sensitive and hug a tree and love who you are, and that all makes you just a perfectly rounded individual, so it's okay.
Yeah, I have such appreciation for what you said in the book that you've written for the boys, because the coaching I do with little boys that I work with and families that have boys with autism spectrum issues, and the boys that I'm working with right now are just off the charts brilliant. I mean, smart. And most kids, what people don't realize is that most kids that dwell in the autism spectrum usually are off the chain smart. They just don't communicate and feel and think like everybody else. And I love what you said about getting grounded, because it's the first thing I do, you know, when I work with parents with their kids, is I say, okay, get the boys outside, get them into a kung fu class, get them into something where they're moving their bodies, where they're getting discipline. I just think that's phenomenal. Now, I have to admit I cheated and I looked at your website, which is really great. And one of the things that you talked about in one of your blogs was living versus existing. Can you say something about that, especially as it relates to your past? It sounds like we had similar similar drama growing up with moms. My mother had cancer basically my whole childhood until she died when I was 19, and my dad was a doctor and was abusive and, you know, was frustrated because he couldn't fix her, and there was all kinds of stuff going on, and, you know, throw all that on top of a bunch of people with ADHD and alcoholism and stuff. How does your work with others in terms of helping people shift from existing to living, how has your past kind of informed that?
Well, you know, my past was really, I look at it now, and you know, I'm totally fine with it. I don't hold any blame or anger towards anything that happened to me in my past. I've grown, and that's not something I want to hold on to. I just want to take what I can learn from it and use it in my now, because, you know, all we have is our now to start living. And when I say stop existing, you know, so many times we're just going through the motions of life. We're getting up, we're going to work, we're coming home, you know, we're miserable in our jobs, people are miserable in their marriages, people are miserable in, you know, whatever they're doing. And they're just existing. You know, they're like, well, I'm just going to get through this and it's going to be done. I'm just going to get through this and it's going to be done. And what I try and instill in people is, this is your life. This is an amazing opportunity and privilege to be here right now and to be able to experience every day to the fullest. And if you're not 100% enjoying it, and I'm not saying you're not going to have bad days, and you know, then it's time to shift, right? I mean, it's time to make some changes. And I'm not telling people, leave your marriage today and quit your job. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, you know,
You're not advocating more drama.
Right. No, absolutely not. And you know, I watch and I deal with people on a daily basis, and even people not in my immediate family, but like my sisters, where they're just repeating the cycle of my mom, repeating the cycle of abuse in their relationships, the way they treat their children, you know, it's just exactly the same. And I just want to tell those people, you don't have to. You know, my sister's thing is, well, you know, our dad was an alcoholic and our mom was beat and we were homeless and mom smoked weed and, you know, just, and that's their, they're like, that's why life is so rough for me. And I'm going, are you kidding me? This is yours. It has nothing, you know, that was not the best of experience. No, but learn from it, grow from it, don't live in it, because you get to live now. You get to make it better. You get to do anything you want, create anything you want. It's so big. I get so excited when I talk about it, because it's just, it's amazing when you really think of the power that you have in your life in your present moment, you know?
Yep. I love the way that you said that. I mean, we are, I was telling you before we got on the air, I really feel like we're kindred spirits, because I think we're doing similar work. My whole thing is personal responsibility, because that was actually the thing, you know, that's been kind of my wounded healer path, growing up in similar circumstances to yours, it sounds like. And one of the big things that I've noticed is that the process for me has been about, and also teaching others, to forgive ourselves for believing the lies we were told. And it's not, you know, and respecting that everybody was doing the best they could with what they had and all that other stuff. So let me ask you something, Robin. What part when you're working with your clients and stuff, what part does ego play in all of this?
You know, ego is a big part, and I talk about ego a lot in my new book because it seems like we're, like you were saying, you know, believing these lies. We start forming our ego so young, and then it's just we feed it with everything that we're taught and everything that we do until we draw the line and say, okay, no more ego. We're running this show, and I'm through with this. And so ego plays every little part in it because if you're feeding this negative ego, you know, you're growing this ego who thinks you have to have more and you have to be the best of the best and you can't, you know, you cannot be seen as normal. I don't even want to say normal because that's not a good word either.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah, that's my least favorite word, I think.
Yeah, me too. And you know, you have to be able to separate yourself from and be okay with who you are right now. I guess that's what I want to say. You know, you want to separate yourself from this image of, I'm better than everybody, I don't need any help, and I have the biggest house and the biggest car and the best clothes, and you know, that's really nothing. You know, that's really just a facade. It's an illusion. Because what's really important is who you are deep down and how you're treating other people and how you're treating yourself and what you're doing that's really making a difference. And so ego for me, you know, like I said, there's in my book because I had such an issue with my own ego. You know, I went through a huge 3 years ago, I went through a huge bout with my own ego, and I realized that I was in this mindset of more is better. You know, the more I have of this, the better it's going to be, and so I'm going to sacrifice whatever I can to get to this point that I think is going to make me happy, which absolutely didn't, and it ended up I ended up starting over all over again, which was amazing to step outside of myself and see what I was doing there and be able to share that experience with people because I think that we've all faced our ego at one point or another.
You really hit the nail on the head, and I think that you said that beautifully because I think that when we're not living in this present moment right now, when you and I are talking, if I'm still attached, and I'm really Buddhist when it comes to things like ego and attachments, because one of the first things I learned when I studied comparative religion for many years, and I'm still consider myself a student, is, you know, attachments lead to suffering, and suffering is optional, which is kind of like a combination of Buddhism and Al-Anon. And I love the way that you said all that, because I love that the focus of your work is about being here right now in this moment present, which is really all that we have. And I was wondering if you could, is Reshaping Reality the newest book?
Yes, yep, that just came out in February.
Can you tell us some more about Reshaping Reality? It looks just amazing.
Yep. Reality, creating your life, is really about personal growth and how we all have these stories, you know, that have bumps and bruises, and so many times we're standing there and we're going, which way do we turn? What do we do now? And what my purpose is with this book is to shake your spirit awake from anything that is limiting you from your potential. You know, you can live this life of motivation and purpose, but it's all about taking the reins and doing it. And this book really helped people to break cycles because I wanted people to look at this book and go, you know what? Robin faced these situations. I share some of my personal stories in this book where, you know, I faced a teenage pregnancy and I faced homelessness and I faced, you know, I was addicted to alcohol at age 15 and I faced all that and I still was able to grab my life and say, this is mine and I'm going to hold it and I'm going to live it to the fullest and anyone can do it. And that's really what this book is about, breaking those patterns of self-destruction and reshaping your reality as you know it.
That's so great because, I mean, I think that, you know, again, I keep coming back to the personal responsibility piece because part of it is, you know, when you get so bogged down in the fear and the junk, you don't realize that not only is it an opportunity, you know what I mean, not only is it an opportunity for me to let go of the past, it's my responsibility to myself because the more I hang on to all of that and stay distracted, the less able I am to, like, actually live right now and be at peace within me. And it sounds like the work that you do is all about helping people find peace within themselves.
Yeah, you know, it's really what I want. I want people to discover their greatness and live it, knowing that it's their truth. You know, you get, like you said, you get so stuck in these ruts. Think you're a product of your childhood, or you're a product of your marriage, or whatever it is that you know that you're doing, and you just really need to know that you're limitless, and you don't have to live through the wounded eye anymore. You're able to control and run your life. You are the star player in this show, in this game, and it's time to, you know, it's time to own that.
That's really great. Did you can you speak a little bit about flow of purpose?
Yeah, you know, and
I noticed one of your blogs, you wrote a wonderful, you wrote One Step at a Time, Flow of Purpose, and that just seems like such an important topic for right now, especially, you know, with it being 2012 and everybody's going through so much ego junk in terms of healing and stuff.
Yeah, and you know, I wrote this because I go through this too, where I get ahead of myself, you know, where I'm like, this is what I want to accomplish, and I should have did it yesterday. You know, that's kind of the mindset.
My head gets ahead of my body. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're rushing through our lives and we're missing all that's going on right now because we don't trust the divine flow of purpose, which, you know, life flows like a river. I mean, there's curves and there's bumps, but it keeps flowing. It doesn't, you know, it's just so important that we take the time to slow down and allow life to flow. You know, that's really what the purpose of that writing was, because like I said, it's just like me. I'm like, okay, I have all these things, and I'm going to do it right now. And then I get caught up in it, and I forget where I'm at right at that moment, and I lose that moment, which is not something that you want to do. You know, you want to live each moment to the fullest. And so I really wanted to share that with people and kind of remind them, as I'm reminding myself, that just slow down and let things be, because everything happens in divine time. And, you know, it's going to be okay. Just let it flow smoothly.
You said that so beautifully. Robin, what was the event, what was the thing that happened that really got you to wake up to yourself? What happened? What specifically was the moment when you said, holy crap, or oh no, or oh yes?
You know, I really, I can remember when I was younger, I had really low self-esteem. I mean, I was... like I said, I was drinking every night, and I was just this really low self-esteem girl looking for attention from boys. I mean, that was who I became. And I can remember looking at my life and going, geez, is this really who I want to be the rest of my life? And I happened to pick up a book, and I don't know who it was by, but it was called Choosing Happiness. And it was just this amazing book. And I read it cover to cover, and I highlighted it. And I mean, that book has no cover, and it's just as rough as can be, because I could not believe the concept that I could create my own happiness. Like, for me, that was the most mind-blowing aha moment I've ever had in my life, to go, are you serious? This is up to me? Because, I mean, as I've been taught always to be a victim to life. I mean, that's what I've seen my whole life. That's what I was taught. Okay, certainly,
right.
I don't make circumstances. They just happen, right? I mean, I can't control
it.
But the book just shifted, and it was like a knowing. You know, it was like, oh, I woke up. I was like, oh, my goodness, this is amazing. I have this power. And from that point on, I'm going to do something with it. You know, I'm not going to just sit by. I've always been overactive, I guess you want to say. You know, I'm always going in 100 directions. And I just, there's so much that I want to do. And I just, you know, so that would have to be it, where I read that book and then I just looked around at my life and went, you know, I'm not living like this. And I started demanding respect in all areas of my life, which is a hard thing to do when you've been that person for so long. That's been basically a yes person, to stand up and demand respect from everyone in your life. You know, my friends were dropping like flies. I wasn't drinking anymore. I wasn't the party girl. I wasn't, you know, the go-to girl anymore, I guess. And so it was really, it was kind of difficult for me, because people in my own family weren't there anymore, because, you know, we weren't on the same level vibrationally anymore, and things were changing, and I was demanding respect, and they didn't know how to relate to that. So, I mean, that's something that happens, and I'm thankful for it now, because I appreciate who I allow in my life and who isn't in my life, and I'm not with that.
That was so well said, and I agree with you. It's true. I mean, when I was, you know, did lots of study, had lots of therapy and all this other stuff, and my mom died when I was 19. But when somebody I really loved and trusted said, you have to go to a 12-step program anyway, I was so angry because I thought, what do you mean? I know all about Jung. I know all about family systems. I know all about alcoholism and its effect and the role I played and blah, blah, blah. But, it, you know, for me, it wasn't until I had to go into the rooms and actually shut up and listen to other people talking and really learn how to listen and then really learn what surrender meant. And, you know, if I got nothing out of Al-Anon, and I got a lot out of Al-Anon, it would be the whole idea of being willing to surrender to the will of the universe and just trusting flow. Because, like you, I grew up in some pretty big drama. There was, you know, abuse, alcoholism, blah, blah, blah. And the thing is, when growing up with a victim mentality, I learned at a very young age to be very manipulative and be very fast and be a mind reader in order to just survive whatever was coming next. And all of which taught me to be manipulative very, very early. And it sounds like the work that you do is trying to help people not have to go as far as we did in terms of, you know, all of the lessons we had to learn the hard way and just start off right in the first place, regardless of what the circumstances are.
Right, absolutely. You know, I want to help people to break those cycles and just like I said earlier, own your life, you know, empower your mind, body, and spirit, you know, take an active approach to your life. It's all up to you. I just want them to see that and feel that and know it. It's an amazing thing.
Now, Robin, I noticed that you have a Chakra Size Your Spirit workshop. Can you say something about that?
Yeah, I do this workshop, and I've actually did it in tons of places. It's exciting. I created 7 chakra sizes, which are basically 7 exercises that teach you all about your energy centers. You know, we have the 7 main energy centers in our body. But when I do my workshops, I like them to be very hands-on. You know, they're going to be fun, they're going to be motivating, and you're going to get involved with your own empowerment of your life. And so with these chakra sizes, I mean, I've done them with workshops with kids, I've done them with adults, did them with adults and kids, you know, so it's just really a fun way to empower yourself and to take control of, I mean, when your energy centers are energized, I mean, you're healthy, you're vibrant, you're feeling better. And so, you know, I just really wanted to give that to people so that they could actually use them every day in their own life and feel that completeness.
Let me ask you something, Robin. It sounds like you have a really engaged and active spiritual life. What are some of the things that you do for you on a daily basis to stay grounded?
I absolutely take some time for myself every day. We live on the river, and I will go out and sit by that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so relaxing. And during the winter, you know, I get so I get that spring fever all winter long. It drives me crazy because I can't get out there. But we live in Michigan, so, you know, the snow's here.
Yeah.
So during the winter, I like to just kind of read and slow down and just really, you know, do things that make me happy. I think that that's an actual major key to living the life that I live is I like to be happy. I like to feel good. So I like to do the things that make me feel that way. And I mean, building forts in the living room with my kids and having, you know, that to me is real. And I love that, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. And so I like to fill my time with doing things with my children. That couldn't ground me more.
How old are your girls, Robin?
My oldest daughter is 15, and then I have a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 1-year-old.
Holy cow. So you are a busy mom and a motivational speaker and writing books. Wow. Do you sleep between midnight and 3 a.m.?
Not usually. It's amazing, though. You know, we're a really good team. My girls and my husband, I mean, they make, you know, people say 5 kids. Oh, my gosh, how do you do it? And I say, you know, it's really not hard for me because we're a team. And, I mean, we have our off days, but we work very well together. And, like, when I go to any events, they all go with me, any book signings, anything like that, because, you know, they're my motivation. They're my drive. It's important for them to be with me.
If you had, Robin, if you had anything to suggest to parents who are dealing with children that are really, really different from them and are really struggling with how to kind of relate to their kids, whatever age they are, what would you tell them?
I'm glad that you asked this because I think that so many times parents, we try to take on this dominant role. And I'm not saying let your kids run wild. I'm just saying we try and be the power player, but we have to realize that these kids are individuals, and they have their own minds and their own thoughts and their own individuality. And a lot of times it gets squashed by an overbearing parent. Like, you have to let your child express themselves. You know, if they want to, I'm just going to use this because my oldest daughter dyed their hair red because that's the color that they want. Let them do it. It's okay. It's just their hair. It's, you know, if they want to pierce their nose, it's okay. You know, it's not the end of the world. Let them, you know, let them express who they are in their truth, because they are not you and they are not your truth. And this was a huge awakening for me when my daughter started getting older, because, you know, she was always a little mini me. Well, then she came into her own and she was getting her own. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I didn't sign up for this, you know. And she started really defining herself. And so I had to work with myself and go, she wants her hair red. It's okay. It's just hair. She wants her nose pierced. You know what? That's fine. She's 15 and, you know, eventually she's going to go out into the real world and she might not be able to have it for whatever job she chooses. And so I had to go through that too. And so many times we're so quick to try and make these kids a carbon copy of what we think is right, but we don't really know what's right. You know, they know what's right for them. And I'm not saying, like I said before, I'm not saying no discipline and all that. My kids have they have guidelines, but they have respect. And that is so important to give your child respect. And, you know, I rarely ever have to get after my girls. And I have people commenting all the time how well-behaved and how good they are and how kids like them don't exist, which is a huge compliment to me because I've worked very hard for that. But a lot of it has to do with they're respected. Their opinion is important. They're important, however they're going to be. I mean, they, you know, I just think that that's really important to give your kids the flexibility to be who they want to be, not who you want them to be.
I really applaud you for saying that, Robin, because that was the biggest lesson that I learned when I was teaching special education in Atlanta, Georgia. I worked with poverty-level children, and the one thing that I learned very early on was that all what they wanted more than anything was for somebody to just respect what they had to say. And it's amazing, amazing how much a child's behavior can shift in a moment when they thank you, when they really get that you are actually listening to what they're saying. It doesn't mean that you're agreeing with them. And, you know, but like you said, I mean, you're picking and choosing your fights. You're saying, it's your hair, okay, so color it red. It's just hair, you know, as opposed to, oh, my God, you're not fitting into the mold of the upper middle class, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
I just really think that that's such great advice for parents, because when you're dealing with a kid who's different than you, the tighter the reins, the more you're likely to lose them.
Right, yeah. And, I mean, like, I agree with you, you know. It's just hair, and I'm not going to let her harm herself. But, you know, I have to let them be who they are. My middle daughter is a hippie spirit. I mean, she is true blue, hippie spirited like you would not believe. And so, you know, she wants to wear the feathers and beat a drum and, you know, whatever she wants to do that's her being her true to her spirit, I'm okay with that. I just don't find the need to pressure them to be something that they're not. And I watch it all the time. I mean, all the time in my area, especially where the parents are like, no, because people are going to talk. And what if you don't fit into the normal of school, you know? And so it's just really sad that people lose sight of their child's spark because they're trying to fit in as a parent. And that's just really too bad.
Yeah, I agree. Robin, I cannot believe this half hour has gone by so quickly. I'm so thrilled that you were able to join us today. And like I said, I totally believe I found a kindred spirit because we are so on the same page. I mean, everything that you said is completely in alignment with the work I do with my clients also. And I just really want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. And I hope that you'll come back.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Robin. Have a great day. Thanks so much. And I want to thank for CPR Radio. My name is Heather McRae. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email me at heather@processdifferently.com. Have a wonderful Saturday and love yourself and celebrate all that you are. By doing that, you give other people permission to do the same. Have a great day. Bye-bye.